Welcome to Clearly Quaker, an ongoing series of podcasts by Salem Quarterly Meeting, part of the Religious Society of Friends. Salem Quarterly Meeting is an association of seven Southern New Jersey Quaker meetings within Philadelphia Yearly Meeting.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christy Duncan Tesmer. My meeting is Chestnut Hill Meeting in Philadelphia, and Philadelphia Quarterly Meeting is my quarterly meeting, and I get to serve this yearly meeting as the General Secretary, which I always give some definitions just in case there are people in the room who don't know all the language or the way everything is set up. So that means that I'm the senior staff person for the yearly meeting. And the yearly meeting is the community of just over 100 meetings over four states that includes 10,000 people on the books. We're not all showing up on Sunday morning. And it also includes all the ministry that all of those groups carry. And the yearly meeting itself is the interconnection of all of those things. Sometimes people say, can PYM do this thing? And what they mean is staff. So PYM staff can often do this thing. Or they say, I want the yearly meeting to, I don't know, do something or other. Well, to do that something or other, when the yearly meeting is doing it, it means those 100 plus meetings and the 10,000 people are doing it. It doesn't necessarily mean someone else is doing it. So that's what we are right now. We are being the yearly meeting. And when you go to your own meeting on a Sunday morning, you're being the yearly meeting as well, because the yearly meeting is all the meetings. And when you go to quarterly meeting, you're also going to yearly meeting, because the yearly meeting is all of the meetings and all the people and all the ministries that we carry. And the yearly meeting does have a staff that can help support all the meetings and people coming together. Abby is also on staff and is awesome with the children. The yearly meeting has sessions where we all come together from all the meetings to make decisions about our community all together. We also have a great big meeting house. That's our yearly meeting house in Philadelphia. We have a budget. We have committees. All of those things support the yearly meeting, but they are not the yearly meeting itself. You are the yearly meeting. So as the senior staff person to support the yearly meeting, I'm really delighted to be here with all of you. So this morning, we are going to do a thing about belonging. So the yearly meeting, all the people in the yearly meeting did some really heavy duty thinking and praying and listening with our hearts for a long time, a decade ago, 10 years ago, more than that, and came back to our session where we all come together to make decisions and said there was a committee that was really supporting this. And they said, hey, everybody, there are essentially five things that when we did all this listening, what we heard that people in our yearly meeting were hearing love and God among us saying, these are the five things that's really important right now for us to focus on. There might be other things that come up. There might be a war that happens and we have to pay attention to that. Or there might be a beautiful wedding of like eight couples all at the same time, and we need to pay attention to that. That's fine, we can do that. But all along the way, we're also really focusing on these five things that are really important to the yearly meeting. So pop quiz, is there anyone in the room who can say what one of the five things is? Community. So close to community is connecting. So it's a little more specific than community, but we're really focusing on connecting all of those 100 meetings and 10,000 people and all the ministries. The yearly meeting is really the only kind of organization that can do that connecting. So connecting is right at the top of the list so that we can have that community all across four states. Belonging is another one. And belonging is about anybody coming into our community and who is on this path. If you're, you know, not interested in the path of sitting deeply with yourself and the divine and each other to find how are we being called to live and then living that way every day of the week, then it's okay if you don't feel like you belong here, because, you know, there's another path that you belong. But if you're on that path and you walk in these doors, what can we do to make sure that you feel like you have the, not just feel, but have the experience of belonging here, with particular attention to families of color, people of different ages, people with lesbian, gay, transgender identities, older people or people with disabilities, and it's harder for them either because of movement or the way their brain works to be able to join in a community. What are we doing to help them belong? That's what the belonging is about. I'm just going to say the other three but not go into detail about them. But if you want to know about them, I will talk about it with you so happily. Witnessing with a particular way. I have to say a little bit. The witnessing doesn't just mean that we each have our own thing that we social justice thing that's important to us in our lives, definitely do that. But what we mean in the yearly meeting by witnessing being one of the five things we're really focusing on is, what are the one or two things that we hear God calling us to do together? Not to say, yes, that's important and we'll write a statement about it and people who care about it will do it. And not to say, yes, that is important and this committee will do that work. But is there something that we are all being called to do, even if it doesn't feel like it's the thing topmost on your heart, but as an entire community, we're being asked to do it? That's a new twist, and that came out of that work of listening for God and what does God want from us. So witnessing, and we have two witnesses that we've chosen as a whole or discerned as a whole yearly meeting what to do. Anyone know what one of them is?
Climate change.
Climate change, yes. All right, bonus points. The second one, addressing racism. Addressing climate change and addressing racism. And it's curious because there's a lot of overlap between those. And then the last two are communicating and to say who we are and functioning. To function really well in a simple way that means that we're not spending all our time figuring out how to get people on committees and what do the committees do, but that we have a way of functioning that there are committees that support what we do and what matters is what we're doing together. So those are our five things. And today we're focusing on belonging. And my computer went to sleep. Hang on a second. So I'm going to start with reading just a little bit of this book to you, and I'm going to narrate what is in the pictures, because I think you can see like generally the tone of the pictures, but I don't think you can see what the detail is. But if you want to come up and see it afterward, the pictures are beautiful. So as I read this, I want you to have in mind, and let's actually take a moment and maybe close your eyes or just look down at the floor and think about Quaker meeting. Think about worship in your meeting. Think about taking care of each other in your meeting. Think about learning more about Quakerism and being closer to the divine. And think about making a difference in the world so that we're living the way that makes space for all people to be whole in this world. In your meeting. Now, when you think about your picture of that, look across the room and notice someone else, do you think the other person in the room is thinking the exact same thing as you of what a meeting is? Do they have the exact same picture? Yeah. So there's some things that are the same, and there are some things that are different. And does that mean that your meeting isn't a meeting? Or that their meeting isn't a meeting? So there's things that are the same and things that are different. So, a stone sat still with the water, grass, and dirt, and it was as it was, where it was in the world. This is a very large stone here with a tiny little snail climbing up the side. There's water around it. There's some squiggles here from the slime of the snail. And the stone was dark. Sometimes of the day, it's dark. When the sun is coming up on this side, it's all shadowy. And the stone was bright in the light of the moon. And the stone was loud when this bird drops a shell on it to shatter so it can eat what's inside. Bang! And the stone was quiet. And there's a little snake taking a nap on it in the sun. And it sat where it sat with the water, grass, and dirt. And it was what it was, where it was in the world. Same stone, different ways of seeing it and experiencing it each time. So, one of the places that I go to sometimes that I am just surprised over and over again and gladdened over and over again by how it is set up so that anyone who comes in the door has what they need. And that place is IKEA. So IKEA is a furniture store, furniture and housewares store, comes out of Sweden. It's gigantic. And I'm going to show you some of the ways that IKEA just welcomes you in. So when you go to IKEA, before you even, we decided not to try to make all the technology happen so that it can show up on this screen, which in so many ways, like, that simplifies. You don't have to look at another screen for the people in the room, for the people who are on Zoom. Are there people on Zoom? Oh, well, then they're not looking at screens either. So it makes it a little harder to see, but I'm going to describe it. So this is the outside of an IKEA with a sign that is, like, nearly as big as the store right here that says, "Welcome to IKEA." And the name of the store is huge on it. And on this sign, it says the hours of when they're open, huge. So when you come near the store, you know what it is and you know when you can come in. And then as soon as you walk in the door, there's a giant sign that says, "Welcome, it's great to see you." And you may know if you've been into IKEA, most of the time there's a person standing there waiting to greet you and to hand you a catalog and to tell you where you want to go and answer any of your questions. So from the point that you see it, they're set up to welcome you in. And then, this one is called Navigating the Space. When you go in IKEA, they have like a map on the floor. And you see there's arrows here, and they say, go this way, and then go this way. The place is huge, and it tells you where to go. So if you're not quite sure, it's okay. They'll let you know. But if you decide to go backwards or to cut across things, they don't care. That's okay. It's not the instruction that says you have to do it this way or you have to leave this place. It just lets you know. And on all the furniture or anything that's for sale, they have a tag that says what that thing is made out of, what other colors it comes in, where you can find it if you want to hold one yourself. Everything is explained right there. So they explain it to you as you come in. And if you're already familiar, you don't have to pay attention to any of it. But if you don't know, it's really helpful. There's a place to eat at IKEA. And they have little kids' cups and plates. They have food that little kids like. In this one in the background, they have a huge chalkboard that when the kids are finished eating, they could run over and play on the chalkboard. They also have vegetarian food. They have vegan food. So they have the things that everybody might need. And they welcome children really deliberately. They, you might not know if you don't have little kids and have been to IKEA, but they have a section where it's a playroom for kids where they can go and just play, and the parents can go shop or go to the restaurant and have a cup of coffee all by themselves. In the showroom, if the kids climb on things, climb on the, this case, the rugs, or sit on the beds, that's fine. They'll just make the bed after the kid leaves. And, it's not in that picture. Also, as you're walking around, these kids are walking around where there are rugs. They have it set up so that in one place, they set up rooms, so it's all put together. So you could see what a sofa looks like in a particular room. You know, you can see an example of it. If that's how you want to be able to think about, what would this be like in my house, or is it comfortable, or whatever, you can go and try it out in a little room, because they have little apartments set up all through it. But they also have a big room full of sofas, so you can see all the sofas at once. So they're showing the same thing in different ways, because some people like it one way, and some people understand it better another way. And then when it's time to go home, they send you home with instructions for how to make things and how to, it's all pictures. So if you don't read or you don't read English, it's okay. All the information is there so you can understand it. And this is my favorite. They have these cardboard triangular tubes that you can put on top of your car. So you can put, if you bought a mattress, you can put it on top of your car and it has like racks basically that you can add to your car to get the mattress home. So they think about even when you're going home. So there's one thing that's really different about IKEA from our meetings. Well, there's lots of things that are really different, but I want to acknowledge that IKEA, their point is to sell things. So it's not a perfect model for thinking about our meetings, but the thing that they are set up to try to do, they do it in a way that welcomes all kinds of people. I forgot to say they have, when you get there, they also have strollers. So if you don't want to bring your own stroller in, that's okay, they got it. They have wheelchairs, so you don't have to unpack yours from the car. They've got it there. They have, when you're going up the stairs, there's handrails, but there's also handrails here for kids. So you don't even notice it if you don't need it, but they've got it. So what we're going to do is think about our own meetings and how we are set up or could be set up for people to belong. When they're coming in the door, when they're trying to figure out what the heck is going on here, when we're doing the thing that the meeting is for, so here it's shopping and they have like the sofas in various configurations. In a meeting, it's about worship and community. Eating together, that's a thing we like, we've already done that today. And then going home again. So There are six stations set up around the room. And each one has the picture from IKEA. So this is about entrance. And there's a clipboard. So the first page here says entrance. If you're starting over there with the navigating, your first page will say navigating. And it says, so how does the space of a meeting say you belong when you're walking in the door? So think about your meeting and what belongs. Think about the people in your group and make sure that everybody in the group belongs when you're answering these questions. If you're younger or older or quieter or louder, what can you do to make sure that everybody's voice gets to be heard? So I'm going to move you into six groups. You're going to start at one of these stations. You'll ask each other about how people can belong in a meeting for whatever space you're at. And then when I say, all right, time to move on, even if you're having a great conversation, move on to the next station. You can talk more later. One more thing. When you get to your station, it's going to say something about the group. So when you get there, you're not just going to be yourself. You're going to imagine that you are going to a meeting for the first time and that you are a person who fits in the group that is named here. So this one says a family with a young child, and a teenager, and a parent or caregiver. So when you think about walking in the door, if you're a child, what says you belong here, child? Right? Each one has a different kind of group. You might find out, like your group might say, a person of color, that you are being a person of color walking in and saying, what says I belong here? And you might not be a person of color and might not know. And that's okay. It's okay. Like finding out that you don't know something is knowing something. So, and if you do know, write it down. And if you're taking a guess, write it down. That's fine. If you get to a group and it is you that you're supposed to be, like if you are a family with little kids and you get to this one and you're like, I just do not want to have to speak on behalf of all families with little kids, you can move to a different group. But if you get to a group and it's about families with little kids, and you think, I don't know anything about families and little kids, you can't move. You stay there anyway, be brave, see what you can find out. Go to your group.
Okay.
All right, friends.
What do we do, answer me?
Hold on to it for now, and I'll collect it before we leave. So, for people who aren't used to moving around a lot and all the pictures and stuff, thank you for trying that out. For people who are more used to that, then thanks for being here and helping the other people figure it out. So the most important part here is how do all kinds of people find belonging in our meeting? The core part of being a meeting is worshiping and listening for guidance from love and the divine and making our decisions that way and supporting each other and bringing that love and connection into our work in the world, social justice. We can do that in lots of different ways. If we, friends, insist on doing it in the ways that our grandparents did it, that would be familiar to our grandparents, it's not going to be a place where our grandchildren want to be. We can worship in lots of ways and still be the core of Quakerism. And we can take care of each other and have food together in lots of different ways and still hold the core of Quakerism. So the most important thing here is how do we welcome people into belonging, maybe people who've been here forever, maybe a new person walking in the door, so that it's Quaker and they can find the place they belong. So what is one thought from the entrance, what it's like when you walk into a meeting, that can show that this meeting is a place where you belong? Just one example, someone throw something out.
Greeters.
Greeters. Nice. Okay, I think someone else was about to say something too. Is there one more that wants to be thrown out?
A welcome table.
Welcome table. What's on that table?
Pamphlets, brochures, children's books.
Children's books too. Right, so you're thinking multiple ages. So a kid walks in and they know they belong because right there are books for them. And there's information that also helps with navigating and knowing what's going to happen next. So navigating is the next one. How do you help people belong? Because they walk in and they wonder, what is this place? How does this work? How do you help people understand how it works so that they can feel comfortable that they actually belong here? What's an example?
Well, again, a greeter would help.
So the greeter isn't just saying hello, but it's also saying, hey, have you been here before? This is how this works. Here's a person that you could sit with, helping them find a place that way. Anything else?
Having signs or literature and things on bulletin board, things that they can see. Mm-hmm.
And the things on the bulletin board and on the table need to use words that everybody knows what it means. If they walk in and it says, here's a thing from FCNL and a thing from AFSC, and are you part of the, I'm trying to think of more, part of, do you know, and here's a thing from PYM. Nobody else knows what that means. Even people in our meetings don't necessarily know what that means. So think about that language and what's on the bulletin board. Yeah.
We just had a house tour. We were part of a house tour last night in our meeting, and there were so many people that came in from the community that were curious, that maybe drive past our meeting lots of times. And creating opportunities, I think, where there is an open house for people to see and to just talk, that doesn't have the pressure of needing to go straight into worship, a moment to look around on a social basis, a social community activity.
Nice. Okay. Back there is, that's navigating. Eating. How can the place where we're all eating together be something that all kinds of people can experience belonging there? It's important to think about.
Develop conversation.
Great, develop conversation. You don't want someone just sitting there eating by themselves, wondering what's going on. So, making sure that there's conversation. Great.
Having food that kids like to eat.
Yeah, food that kids like to eat. My kids used to call it Quaker potluck food. None of which they wanted to eat. And what's that page? Is that
welcome children?
Children. How is it clear that children are welcome and belong here? We've said a few things already. Anything else to add to it?
Having intergenerational activities as well as separate activities for the children. I think it's a balance.
Nice. Say why.
Because we want them to feel they belong with us, but also that they're special and that they also need time by themselves, and especially the younger children kind of looked up to the teenagers, and the teenagers get to take a leadership role there.
Great. All those things. Awesome. Yeah. You were going to say something.
I think we need to show children have value, that what they say is very important to us.
And how do you do that? What's the action that helps them know they have value?
Well, like he said, incorporating the children into our group activities and intergenerational activities and listening to them.
Great. How is worship a place where kids can be part of it? Are there any kids here who have been to worship? Or anyone who was a kid at worship? What made it, when you're a kid and you go into worship, what makes it feel like it's a place that the other people want you to be there and that worship is a place to be for you?
I would
suggest, I know in the past it's been very helpful that after meeting, someone will say how wonderful it's been having the young people with us.
Mm-hmm. Seeing other kids is nice.
Seeing other kids, yeah.
Getting a smile, like smiling when you enter, if worship's already started, if the kids see the adults smiling at them when they come in to sit down, that makes a difference, doesn't it?
I know some meetings they put a quilt on the floor, and kids or adults who would rather sit on the floor have a space to sit that's not like quite as stiff or uncomfortable sitting on the bench where your feet don't reach the floor. And it's like, there's one meeting where they do that, and the kids come in and they go right towards that space because they know it's their space and they can stay there. They can be part of worship for a long time. Carlton, what were you
going to
say?
Oh, well, I was going to say kind of what you were just about to, or what you just did say. I had a little spot behind a bench where if I really felt angsty or whatever, I could read a book or something. That was when I was a little kid, of course.
Okay.
So.
Do you still want to go to that space sometimes?
I think I'd be looked down upon in that regard.
But, but do you want to?
Anything else? So we just slipped into worship. Anything else about worship and helping people feel like they belong from wherever they're coming from? How do they belong in worship? What is it that we do that shows that people belong?
Explaining how it works.
Yeah, that's important. A lot of meetings have little pamphlets sitting on the bench, or there's a greeter.
Also telling people that their message spoke to you if it did.
Nice. Right. People can feel really vulnerable after worship if they spoke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So letting them know how that landed on you.
My kids remembered somebody wiggling his ears. And they also remember the candy man, and if they'd sat quietly, they could go see him after meeting and get a candy.
Oh. Nice. Carlton, were you going to say something?
Maybe being accepting of people who want to do different things like quilting or knitting or something like that. Some people get fidgety with their hands and stuff. So.
Yeah. I was just in a meeting where there was one person who said, the only way I can come to meeting is if I'm doing, I need something to keep my hands busy. And another person said, it is not worship if you are doing something with your hands. You cannot do that.
Yeah.
And it was very important to her that what worship means is to really center down. And if you're moving, you're not centering.
Yeah.
So they had to have a conversation about, well, what is worship and how do you experience and how about you? And how do we both be in the same room worshiping at the same time?
I think I was in that exact meeting, by the way.
Yes, I think you were.
I can see how doing something they do well and all the time helps them concentrate, helps them actually vacate their mind and be open.
Okay, one more. Now it's time to go home. How do people know when they're at home that they belong in Quaker meeting?
We sent a card to them.
Send a card to them. Carlton?
I might be speaking too much. We started having a address book, so if they wanted maybe to get emails about events or something, I don't know.
I've heard from people who visit meetings that they love it when that is asked of them and then their address is asked and they go home and then they get emails from that other meeting. Jim Waddington is one who talks about that a lot from visiting other meetings.
I love that Salem meeting has the directory right there on the bench with the members. So if I came to a meeting and I talked to someone and I might have some questions that come up and I have a book that has everybody's name, I'm like, oh, what time, you know, I have someplace to go. That feels good. And I also feel like I'm trusted by having that shared.
Interesting. And then you can take the initiative. You don't have to wait for someone else to send you something. All right. Yes.
Thanking somebody for coming and asking if they had any questions.
Great. Thanking someone for coming and asking if they have questions. Okay. Well, I know that this meeting recently has welcomed into membership two people who are not adults. And so there's something about this meeting where the people really can experience, this is where I belong, and I'm going to write my letter, so I'm like, I officially belong. And then it's important for this meeting to be able to maintain that, so that when they keep coming back, they keep knowing that they belong, and maybe the meeting needs to, and now I'm talking about any meeting, maybe it can be helpful to welcome in that kind of energy and that new way that maybe a new person does something that can bring some life to everyone. And the same thing with the I have to knit in meeting. You can't possibly knit in meeting. that will come up. And so welcoming that is important, and dealing with it and having conversations about it so we can all grow, so we can be in this growing, learning, grounded community together. This has been delightful. Thank you for welcoming me here today, and I look forward to worshiping with you too.
Thank you, Christy.
Thank you for listening to Clearly Quaker. We hope you have found this podcast thought-provoking. If you have questions or comments, or would like to learn more about South Jersey Quakers, reach us at salemquarter.net.